You know, it's kind of a ritual to start off with saying, pray for me. But we really mean it. So I'd appreciate your prayers today. I'd like to read a little bit in the fourth chapter of John. And I'm going to read a little bit of this reading. Starts off in the first verse. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Here cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saying to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye said that in the Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, thou, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I'm thinking about today the power of influence. You ever hear of influencers? It's kind of a term you hear now. I don't know a lot about it, to be honest with you, but I think it's these people that get them a web channel of something, they do it, and they have something that they want to influence the world with. I don't know whether they sing, dance, or make jokes, or various talents or lack thereof that they want to portray to the world, But they call themselves influencers because they have people that follow them and they do this. I suppose you could do anything from cooking to trimming trees. I don't know what they, but they, there's channels out there and they do it and they're called influencers. You ever thought about how much influence that you actually have? I think this is a very fitting message for the end of a service meeting like this because Brother Rod told us, we've heard a lot of things through this meeting. Well, what are you going to do with them? You ever think about how much influence? I mean, you might be here now and think that you don't have any influence, but I feel like the Lord has impressed something very strongly upon my mind to challenge that thinking with. Do you know if you're here today from the very youngest to the very oldest, you ever realize how much influence that you have? You have a remarkable amount of influence upon society, upon life. Influence goes like a web, if you'll allow me the illustration. It goes like a web or tentacles. One thing doesn't stay one thing. It broadens. It goes. All of it does. And I'll give you a few examples of that. There's a big beltway around D.C., many, many lanes. I don't know how many lanes it is, but there's a beltway around D.C. In traffic time, in rush hour, they say that if you hit your brakes hard, if you hit your brakes enough to assert brakes, that you cause the guy in the back of this to be a half hour late getting home. Just one push of the brakes, because everybody starts pushing their brakes until they stop. And then everybody stops and stops and stops and stops. Then everybody takes a few seconds to start. A few seconds to start, a few seconds to start. You give a car a length. You keep going until the guy back there does that. And if you do it again, it's an hour home. The amount of influence we got is incredible as it wrinkles out through life. If you go to town tomorrow, if you go to Hammond tomorrow, and there's traffic there, every stoplight that you stop at, if you wasn't there, somebody would be. So you just altered. Everybody that was sitting would be a car length up. You actually changed the space that they're in. We say that ain't much influence. You don't know what kind of influence that might be. So, you know, Aunt Alice steps out of her house, or she's going to the house, and the cat runs under her foot, and she trips and breaks her leg. It's because the timing was right for doing it. If she'd have been 2 minutes later or earlier, the cat was still chasing a mouse in the back, and she wouldn't have tripped over the cat, and that the influence wouldn't have been there. And because you went to town, and Alice tripped over the cat, the influence is immense of what we do. It keeps going out through everything that we do. If you stop someone and say, "Excuse me, I'd like to talk to you a minute," you just altered not only their life, but everybody that they was going to talk to and touch and everything that they did, you're going to affect the whole world. Only God could unravel something like that, but the influence is extreme. You are very influential. You change society's motions by the decisions that you make. They say, and I can't verify this and wouldn't even try, but they say that every one of us is connected by only 7 relationships. If you do the 7 people will connect everybody. Oh, you can say, "Well, that don't sound right," but I'll give you an illustration. I heard that actually when President Obama was in office. And I thought, well, I wonder how long it would take me to influence him. Well, I know Brother Mike in our congregation. Brother Mike worked for our U.S. Senator Rockefeller and knew him very well, worked with him for years. And Senator Rockefeller often talked with his fellow senator and then President Obama. So I only got 4 on that one. So if things were right, I could actually influence President Obama. You say, "Well, wow, but it could happen." Because the things that affect Mike would affect the senator, and the senator ultimately could affect the president. And that's the way life is. And we all have an enormous amount of influence that we don't even understand it or see it. Nobody could see those kind of influences. But we do have those kind of influences. And you may think you do nothing, but you're actually doing a lot. Now, the influence that I'm talking about isn't moral. It is moral. It's amoral. We don't direct those kind of things to whether somebody's in an accident or they're not, or what kind of time. I'm just trying to make the statement that God put in my mind, the only He could see or know, but maybe in eternity He'll see, show us a graph of the influences that we actually had. I don't know. God would know those kind of things, but we have an influence here. Do you know that even the babies in here can totally influence life? Sure, because the parents is going to cater to the child. And if you cater to the child, you have to let something in. And of course, being here in society means that we have an enormous amount of influence. You can't help it. You're going to influence society just by living. And I wonder just what kind of influence. There has never been an influence that impacted the world like the life of Christ. No single individual has ever impacted what's happened in this world like He did. Totally impacted the whole place. We was at Guthrie a few years ago. Maybe I mentioned in this meeting, I don't remember, but we was at Guthrie a few years ago, and they asked some of us that wasn't raised among the saints to give a testimony to the young people. They asked my wife. They asked Sister Tammy Sorrow, I believe it was, Brother Bob Wilson, myself. They asked us to give our testimonies. And as we give the testimony, there was something that unfolded that we didn't even see it when we started off. Tammy's testimony is, as a little girl, her grandmother would take her to Monarch. That was her testimony, her grandmother. We wouldn't even look, most of you wouldn't even look and even think of what influence that Sister Nelvick could have had on us. But she affected one person a lot. She affected my wife. I'm going to tell you, she had a great effect on my life. Because my wife might not be here with me if it wasn't for Grandma. But Grandma had the influence, and she simply took her grandchild, she took her granddaughter to Monarch. And that ended up being a great influence in my wife's life. Brother Bob gave a testimony. His testimony was his grandmother's faithfulness. He gave that testimony. When Sister Tammy gave a testimony, she talked about Brother Randy's grandmother and how she, after they, how she had lived such a godly life, and she influenced her to want to be godly and wanted to live for the Lord. And she testified that. And then I come along and said, well, my grandma, these little old grandmother, we think of something powerful and all this. They made an influence. And do you realize the web? I'm not claiming anything for myself, but you think of the influence that my grandmother may have had, and you think, well, what didn't seem to be a lot, but people in the community was affected by her. Her whole family was affected by her. And if I was affected by her, anything that I ever will do in my life will be a tribute to my grandmother's faithfulness. Because I can lay a lot to what I understand and even association with the saints, that my grandmother was faithful and she lived for the Lord and she was there, and her influence was impactful into my life. You have a lot of influence in everything that we do. I come out of the Walmart, it's been a few months ago, but I come out of the Walmart and in the entryway, there was a man sitting there, and I saw him, and I thought he looked familiar to me. But I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I second-guessed it, so I walked on by him. He didn't recognize me, and I partially recognized him. And I got a little ways, and I turned around and looked and said, yes, that's Tim. And I walked back and said, Tim? And he said, yeah. Oh, Marty. And I sat down there and talked with him. I hadn't talked to him in a long time, and he had had a lot of health issues and things was going on in his life. And I sat there and talked with him a little bit. And there wasn't a lot of spiritual context to anything or anything like that. But it was a joy to be able to talk, and he was sitting there waiting for his family's wife and all to come out, and I ended up saying bye to him, and with such a joyful ring in his voice, he said, "Marty, thank you so much for stopping and talking with me." How much influence can that have? It's unmeasurable. I'm in the true sense of it. I don't know how to measure something like that. Who can measure something like that? But I want to encourage us today that we have an influence, and many people take that power of webbing influence. That is to be, I tell you, as I meditated on this, I kind of shuddered at the idea of it. That the things that happen in life that I can be responsible for, maybe more than I could ever understand or know. What will the end of it be of what I've done? I mean, so much there, the power of the influence that we have. And there's many people that write songs and do things to influence people. To commit murders, to commit adulteries, to commit crimes, to pump up their flesh. So many people to do those kind of things that lends to the negative side of life, and they have no idea that was a contributing factor to someone that's home split up. And because the home split up, the children were dysfunctional. And they got into drugs, and then they murdered somebody. And then the murdering, that they had to, somebody had to face the reality of losing their child to murder or to a drunk driver or something like that. And the influence web that we could have because of that. Linda reminded me of a story, and I hope I get this even somewhat right, but there was a story of a young man that was carrying a backpack of books or something, all these books, and he dropped them, and they went all over the place, and another young man comes and helps him pick up, and they get to talking and kind of doing all that, and he paid him attention and done all that, and then would come to find out that the young man had actually cleared his locker out, and he was actually going home to kill himself, is what he had in his mind. He cleared it all out. He's going to kill himself. But this guy's intervention into that and helping him with that and encouraging him, and he found out about that and don't do that, and he had an impact upon this young man's life. And then the webbing of that, who can know? Without that man on life, you don't know what the... That changes society, doesn't it? Because he's going to be in a parking place somewhere. He's going to be at a stop sign somewhere. Not to say that's good or bad, but his influence, whatever it could be, will never be if he kills himself. And so this man comes in and utterly changes the whole societal thing. We don't know. We just don't know what kind of influence and web of influence that we have when we live for the Lord. I was talking naturally to get us to understand, but you don't know what kind of a spiritual web of love and mercy and kindness that we can have when we live for the Lord right. And when we give him our heart. Now, again, I may not get this story exactly right, but because it's vague in my memory. But years ago, it was probably about 88 or 89, because we still had the tabernacle. We was having a camp meeting in about that time period. And I remember Brother Keith Fuller, he came down and he brought a man with him from Akron. And they told the story, and he testified at that camp meeting. Some of you, I think, were there. But this man testified that Brother Keith had went to the bank and had got some money. I don't remember exactly what it was for, but it was an envelope of money, and he put the money there, and the guy saw him get the money, and he ended up coming up and asked him, I think, if he could give him a ride. And his intention was is that he was going to harm Brother Keith and get the money some way. If he had to shoot him, I don't know what the story was exactly, but the guy's testimony, that he was, that's what he was going to do. But on the way, when they got to talking, before he did it, he got to talking, I'm a pastor, and I'm going to do this and do this. And he got to talking with him, and he started feeling something, and the more he went, the further he felt something, and then all of a sudden he said that he wanted to do it, but he couldn't do it. And he ended up coming down, and he gave this testimony of what his evil intentions was. But the Lord's, the influence had altered that. Couldn't tell you where the man's at or whether what other webs that could have had. But we do have influence around us. We have influence. You don't know, as you go with a joyful attitude, Lord help us. I've said this before. It's hard to read everybody because some people's mouth just naturally curve up, and my mouth naturally curves down. And sometimes people think when I'm just thinking, they think I'm either mad or upset. I've had many people come and say, "What's wrong?" "Well, nothing's wrong." "Well, you sure look like something's wrong." "Well, I assure you nothing's wrong." "Well, what are you mad about?" "Well, I'm not mad about everything, but I've got to force a little bit better attitude than that, because if I'm just walking thinking somebody, you know what I'm saying." But we have a power of influence. Every one of us has a power of influence. And that is what the Lord had intended to spread the gospel with, was the power of the influence of a Christian life. It's not altogether just what you say. It's what you do. It's the attitude that you have. I've told this before, but we were shopping one day, and I was in front, and Linda clipped my heels with the cart. You ever get your heels clipped with a cart? Well, I got clipped with my heels, and I'm pretty open about stuff, so I'll just tell you. She clipped my heels, and I turned around there. And do you know there was a number of people, when I did that, they all looked at me. Of course, they all looked at me. And just as plain as it could be, the words come into my, how you know what I'm talking about, come into my mind. "You better be careful. You look holy. You look holy. You better be careful." We have influence, don't we? Those actions influence people in their lives. It does. We have the power of influence. Now, to the scripture that I read that because I read this scripture when I thought these thoughts. Here was a woman that obviously had some... It seems like there's a lot of people like this. We would look at that five husbands and the guy you got's not yours. But she asked him what proper worship was. So there was something in there. And even in this state that she was in, that the Lord brought to her attention, now she went and said, she went to the city and told the men of the city that I don't think everything's written in the scripture. She didn't just say he said this. She said that he told me everything about, it was much more broad than this. I think there was a lot more not written that the Lord said to her about her life. And the influence that she had, do you know that she was influencing people? She definitely influenced those six guys. She had an influence in life. She was influencing the neighbors. She was influenced. Yeah, of course she was influencing the children. You know, there's a lot of role models out there that shouldn't be role models. A lot of them. I used to say about these posters, somebody mentioned about that, the posters and stuff. And I remember when I was first saved, I thought, you know what? I'd like to have a poster too. It'd be a very odd poster for somebody to hang up in their room. But it was a picture of my grandmother in her long skirt, and she was like this, and she was holding the Bible like that, and she had her hair up, and she was a very old woman. She was kind of a short, some of you knew my grandmother. She was a little woman and all that, and I'd have loved to have had a big poster when I was, and put up on the wall to remind me what faithfulness was. Not everybody needs to be a role model. Everybody has the power of influence. And some of these people that are claiming to give an influence are giving really bad influence. The sports world and the sports figures, for the most part, are very ungodly people. They are. And their influence is for the natural things and for the carnal things and to live life and do all that things. And they put out an influence. Well, this woman here had a desire of some kind because she wanted to know how to worship the Lord right. And the Lord went and expounded all that to her. Now, you as a woman that you might not think about as much, but I want to make this point about the influence. If this is all that she did, think of the great ripple effect of what this woman did. She simply went to the well to draw water. That was her ambition, as she did many days. She went to get water. But this day, she runs into something now to deal with. We got more influence than you can imagine. You have more influence than you imagine, from the grocery store to the gas station to the post office. You've got more online. If you're an online person and you post things, you got more influence than you could ever imagine. You know, when I first, my son got me associated with Facebook, I avoided it like the plague for years and didn't want nothing to do with it. But it ended up when I got on there and I presented to the people that I hadn't seen in 40 years, classmates and all that was on there, and I went on and made the friend, reconnected the friendships, and I posted our pictures of my holy family and all this kind of things. So many of my family I hadn't seen in years, and so many of the friends that I hadn't seen in years were in broken situations, broken marriages, brokenness. And the comments that I got back was all a longing and a feel for what, oh, brother or Marty, what a family you have. So you have been blessed to have a family like that. That's a power of influence. So this woman, she took what happened to her, and she was going to influence one way or the other. You know, my mother one time, and I attribute this so much to what the Lord's done for me. My mother didn't live for the Lord in her life, but my grandmother did, and that was her mother-in-law. And I remember from a little child my mother saying, "Well, I don't live for the Lord, but if I was going to live for the Lord, I would do it like your grandmother does it." Because she gives her whole heart and does it sincerely. My mother recognized that. Do you know what the power of influence is that a mother has to a child? At that time in my life, Mom was always right. If I needed to know something, Mom knew what it was. If I knew how to spell a word, Mom knew how to spell it. If I needed to know how to do something, Mom knew how to do it. You know how believing we are in our mothers? And our dads, I mean, Mom and Dad knows how to, you know how much influence that you have? Oh, but be careful. Because I remember looking at one of my children one time and said, "Well, that's kind of an ugly thing. Where they got that at?" Oh. The power of influence runs every way. And it goes in the webs, and if you put it in the children and the children and the children and the children, the web continues, and we have a lot of influence. So the woman goes to the city and she says, "There's a man up there at the well, and he told me all things." You know that everyone understood that the prophecy of the one that was going to come, that he was going to know all, he would be able to reveal all things. This was what they believed Christ was going to do. And she goes down there and says, I just experienced that. There's a man up there that could not know these things about me, and he knows these things about me. And he went, and she went, and if that's all that she'd done, Jesus looks and said, "Look at the great white heart. Here comes these people. All these people. By her words, here comes all these people." We don't, only eternity will tell, and only God knows. Was any of these ever later disciples? Was any of them ever, they didn't tell it all. Supposing somebody comes up and says, "She said you told everything." It doesn't have to say that. Give me some liberty here. She comes up and says, "She told all this. Is this true?" And he said, "Yeah, you've had a couple extra wives yourself. I saw you under the fig tree the other day." the power of the influence. And then this one that had that experience is telling somebody else, this is my experience. If you've got an experience in the Lord, you've got a great instrument of influence. To be able to testify something for yourself, nothing can be as powerful as a personal testimony. Just for an example, I was talking with somebody one time about all the whole evolution things and the creation of the earth and the flood and all this, and I was doing this thing about the flood, and I was telling them about what's called polystrates. They're these petrified trees that run through multiple stratas, and nobody's got an answer for. I've read some of the so-called answers, and they're foolish. There's no way there's an answer. And I worked in the mountains, in the coal mines, and I'm in strip jobs and all that. And the mountains of West Virginia have a lot of these in it. There is trees, petrified trees, in the mountains, inside the mountains of West Virginia, that stand straight up and have their limbs and everything. And I was telling somebody that, and they didn't believe me. Oh, I don't know. You got that from somewhere. And I said, I got that from seeing it. I've seen them knock the high walls off to go into a coal mines, and there stands a tree 60 foot tall and it's got its limbs. You can look and see it's an oak variety, petrified. We'd even take them and put them as yard ornaments sometimes when they break up. They're there. And they didn't believe the testimony until I said, I can testify to it myself. I've seen them many times. They're in the coal mines, there's what they call kettle bottoms, and it's the bottom of the tree. And so when you're in the coal seam, they got to put something to keep that from falling, because it's just a shaft in there. If it gets loose, that whole tree, petrified, can come down. So it's very dangerous. And it's not an anomaly. They're everywhere in there. And I was trying to tell them, somebody give me an answer. How was that created? How did that happen? Your scientific way, give me something. And I don't know an answer for that. Well, I don't know. If it happened in so many millions of years, I don't know how a tree petrified. Like, nobody's got an answer. And I was saying that. Well, the best thing that they can say is, I don't believe you. Until I say, I experienced it and saw it with my own eyes. It's my testimony. I can say it as powerful. I can't say, well, it's a little less when I say, well, Brother Doug told me. Well, who's Brother Doug? But I have a power of influence when I have an experience. This is what I've experienced. And the web of that. I come around my house one time. I had a cherry tree, and the cherries was on the tree. And I walked around my house, and there was a little dirty-faced neighbor boy sitting up in that cherry tree, picking cherries and eating them. And the first feeling that I had was, the first feeling and thought I had was, get out of my cherry tree. That was the first thought I had. What are you? And I went around there and looked up at him, and of course he looked sheepishly down at me. And that little dirty-faced, big-eyed little neighbor boy that I knew mother run off from him and knew the situation, and I looked there, and a surge of pity came to me. And I remember the thought coming to me that he's not going to always be a little boy. Someday he's going to be a big man. And I said, you be careful and don't break none of the limbs out there. That's what I told him. And just help yourself and eat those cherries. And the desire is that there was influence. The desire is that not everybody's mean. Not everybody's cruel. There is people that the web that they have is genuine and loving. And it can go on. I like to help people. And a lot of people like to pay for it. And when somebody says to me, when I help them and I do something, or when it happens and somebody says, well, how much I owe you? I tell them, help somebody else. Just return the favor to somebody randomly. You'll have a chance in your life. If I give you a jump, you run about, you'll run onto somebody with their hood up someday. Just jump somebody's car. Just keep it going. How about a little influence to think that somebody's been helped and helped and helped because there was an influence of that. I was at the Dollar General one day, and there was a guy ahead of me, and he didn't look like he was bad off or nothing like that. He appeared to be one of the local, he wasn't local, but he one of the workers that come in there, and he had got him some stuff there at the counter, and he got all bagged, all done, and it's so much, and he pulls out his, "I don't have my card." And he looks, "I don't have enough money." "Okay." He said, "Well, I'm going to have to go. I'll come back." And I said, "Oh, wait a minute." I said, "It's all the Lord's. There, let me buy it. Let me pay it for it." "Oh, no, let me buy it." I said, "Boy, have I been in those situations. I would absolutely hate to have to drive back and do that. Here, just let me do this." Well, it was like $68. $68. He said, "Well, no, I can't let you do that." I thought, "Oh, it's fine." Well, he ended up balling up all his money up and giving it was $43. So I ended up, it was cheap. I mean, is that? But the look on his face and the appreciation. I said, "You'll have your chance. Help somebody. Exert it." So we have a natural, honestly, we have a natural way of influencing that you can't help it. You go to Hammond tomorrow, I guarantee you, you're going to make life different just by being there for hundreds and hundreds of people. Their life will change in timings and things because you're there. And that's an influence nobody can calculate or do. But isn't it something to think about this from an eternal point of view? When you look at that great graph of what your life was and the things that you never knew. We went to Wisconsin one time to a meeting, and there was a young man ended up there, and I didn't quite recognize the guy, and then he testimony, and I think my wife ended up saying, "That's the young man that God saved back in the tent meeting." And he was all together, and he had a testimony and all like that, and my heart was like, wow, the influence now that he is going to have with that testimony. He got saved at the tent meeting, and a year later he shows, not a year, but a time later, he shows up with that testimony. Who knows what it could be? Do you know that John Wesley, who was in the 17 whatever's, he was a very influential man and went around preaching holiness and preaching sanctification, and he preached and sometimes many, many times a day on his circuits he would preach. And you know what he said? He attributed it to his life to his mother's devotion. Isn't that something? A mother that took time with a couple sons and taught them the ways of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord, and she instilled in them the love of God and the love of service. And they made a great dent in the society around them. We were, over the last few years, some of you know this, but we've been helping out some folks in Uganda. Sister Brenda's the young girl who was rescued from the streets of Uganda by an old half-witted woman. And the half-witted woman died when Brenda was 7. She never remembers anything but living on the streets and in culverts and under bridges. And this old woman died and left her at 7 years old. And by an early age, by 10, 11, and 12 through there, the only thing that she had known in life from Nakulyango, this old woman, was the love of children and to rescue them. She was like an old woman that was almost retarded in some ways, and you know how she just loved children, and she would try to get all these street children together, and And she would do all this, and the only thing Brenda's influence was ever on her life was that. And so at a young age, she started just rescuing and doing the same thing. She would just get children together and keep them alive and try to get stuff out of the dumpsters for them and try to clothe them, and she'd do all of these things. And we recently have been took up the effort to support her and help her, and the Lord's blessing with that. And the other day she told me that of the children, she got 14. She said of the children, they have a great heart to want to do the things that they saw too. They saw and felt, they felt the blessings of being rescued. They saw the importance in that. And now their heart is now to say, I want to rescue the children that are hungry. Boy, if you could get the 14 to get 14, and if you could get them to get 14, the influence is exponential. And it goes out through what no one could ever imagine or know. The influence of that can go on and on. By keeping one person alive that has a mind and heart of God, how many people can make it? From the beginning of my experience in the Lord, and I think of everyone that I ever knew was saved, there is an automatic desire to be a part of somebody else's salvation. Am I wrong? Did anybody ever get saved and not think, what can I do to give this to somebody else? I want to be a part of somebody else's getting to go to heaven. I want to see people saved. I want to see people come to the Lord. I've never known anyone really that got saved that didn't have that natural desire to be able to touch somebody's life. You know for the joy that was set before him. It says in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured all of it for the joy that was set before him. It was so worth it to be able to experience other people's lives and see them come to something like that. Sometimes things are so simple. I'm going to tell you what rejoiced my heart. Brenda and the children had never had a toothbrush. They never had a toothbrush. They take a stick and they clean their teeth with stick and they chew on it. I mean, they brush kind of with their stick. They never know. And I was talking to them the other day and mentioned about their teeth. And they told me what they did. And I said, you've never had a toothbrush. And Brenda's 26 years old now. No, she never had a toothbrush. Never brushed her teeth. None of the children had ever had a toothbrush. And I said, Linda, let's buy them some toothbrush. This was like the happiest day in their lives. Like, they're going to get this toothbrush. They even got them some toothpaste. And it was like, what's it taste like? And I'm, well, it's usually mini. And it was Colgate. And it was like, is it sweet? Well, it's kind of sweet. You can't eat it, though. You're supposed to spit it out. And it was like, oh, look at this. And I got some videos and pictures of them, the little children, brushing their teeth. And I asked Brenda, what was it like for them? It was like this special treat. A toothbrush? Oh, Lord, help us. A toothbrush. Let the least of these, my brethren. To think of a world and a place that is so destitute of those kind of simple things of life. To brush your teeth. We have a lot of influence, folks. We have a lot of influence. We have the means for influence in this world. Do you know that? You say, well, I ain't wealthy. Yes, you are. By every metrics of this world, I'm saying the whole life of this planet, you're wealthy. You're wealthy. If you drove here in a car today, you're wealthy, because I know a lot of places where people don't ride at all. If you have food today, consider yourself wealthy. There's going to be a lot of people not eat today. We have an influence. And this woman at the well, she simply took what the Lord did and she went down there and shed it, and nobody could tell what the great far-reaching effect of her words were to go down there and tell them that. It could have changed the generations.
My grandmother, back in 1947, wrote a letter to Brother Fred Pruitt. I don't know where she got the Faith and Victory at, but she ended up with a number. And that, and we're in the central West Virginia, in the mountains of West Virginia, and she wrote a letter to Brother Fred Pruitt about the desire that she had for the saints to come up there. And you know what Brother Fred did? He went up there. He got a troop. Sister Marler was one of them. She was the one that told me the story. She was actually in Jumbo, West Virginia in 1947. My dad was 12 years old, and he remembered it well. And they went up there and had a great influence on me. Do you realize what an influence they had on me? My grandmother was got saved. My grandmother was saved in that, and the influence of the saints' life on her, it influences me now. And if I ever do anything, thank God for Brother Fred. My children, my adult children, young children, all the children are affected by Brother Fred in 1947. Think of that. By Grandma in a response that she had. But my desire to live for the Lord, for their mother's desire to live for the Lord. My children are affected by how deeply I want to serve the Lord. Do you understand that? They're affected by how much passion I have. They're affected by how much devotion I have. My children's going to be affected by the way they think about service, but what way I think about service. If it's happening in their own, they will too. We have a great influence on around us by what we do. I don't go around telling my children that service is or isn't anything. My children know I go to service every time it's open. I go. It's what I told the Lord to do, and I do it. And they look at that, and the obvious answer to something like that is that Dad must think service is important because it keeps going. Right? Well, why do we keep going to these camp meetings? Because they're valuable. I don't have to tell my children that. They always want to go, you know. I mean, I tell my children, oh, you all want to go to Monarch? Yeah, of course you want to go to Monarch. Why was they influenced like that? In closing, I want you to think about something. Think about Monarch. There's people that never went much and not affected much by it. But think of Monarch for those that went, that grew up with it. Now, I know Andrew. I was about to put her on the spot because I knew their family. And I remember when Lene and Shana was little and I didn't understand Monarch. I just come around and I said something to them about Monarch. And one of them told me, said, I would bawl and bawl if I didn't get to go to Monarch. Must be a pretty special place. You know, people was raised like that, and you all know this. People that was raised there will go, they're not even living for the Lord. They'll go to Monarch, won't they? Why? Why? Because it impacted them. Thank God. Thank God for it. The influence of the place was strong, and it has affected people in their lives. And that's the power of influence that can't be measured. God will measure it for eternity. I believe that. But I believe if we could look and see what my life has done and what it's caused and what's been in there, it would be only God could see it. Because it's so intense. I mean, I'm almost 62 years old. I've been influencing this planet for a long time, one way or the other. But Lord, give us a desire that the rest of our influence would be this power of positive for Christ, that it would go out as an influence that would cause people to want to follow the ways of righteousness. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.